Curious Podcast. This is Amberly Lyons, and this is part two of our special Q&A episode where myself and my dear friend Sophie VMH are answering all of your burning questions. Episode one was so fun. We dove into a lot of God, Bible related topics. Episode two has some more fun lifestyle, relationships, time management, family, beauty questions. And I suggest listening to part one first, just so that you can learn a little bit more about Sophie, hear her testimony. But you do you, boo. If you are guided here and you're like, nope, God is telling me that this is the one I need to listen to today, then we're all for it. There are no rules here. So in episode two, we're going to be diving into navigating the challenges of marriage from a Bible standpoint. We're going to talk about microdosing and drinking and what the Bible has to say about that, maintaining a sense of self, discovering your new identity and purpose, prioritizing what truly matters, and letting go of all your ego expectations and Instagram envy. And we'll be sharing some beauty tips as well. As you guys are listening to this, I'm actually in Spain and having the best time ever. So if you want to follow along, who doesn't love watching someone on vacation? I mean, sometimes maybe it's a little depressing, but inspiring. And, you know, maybe you'll get some outfit ideas. Maybe you'll decide you want to go to Spain. You know, it's worth following along. I'll be posting on my personal Instagram at Amberly Lyons, and I'll be posting any Bible related, sharing my journey. I do plan on going to church in Spain, so I'll be posting that journey on the Bible Curious Podcast Instagram, which is at Bible Curious Podcast. So this trip was actually something that I wasn't sure about. I really had to consult God, and he pulled some miracle strings to make sure I got it to happen, because a lot of wild changes are coming in my life, a lot of business changes, and God is so good. If you are not sure about something, be patient. Wait for him to answer before you take action. I literally booked this trip less than 2 weeks before we were leaving, so my friends were already planning on going at this time, and they told us months ago, and I didn't have a clear answer as to whether it was right, whether it was the right time. And usually I'd be like, yep, we're going, and I would just do it without thinking. But, you know, I was like, okay, I need to wait until the answer is clear. And I was so stressed, wondering if we were going to be able to make it, or if it was going to happen, or if we should make it happen, because a lot of, like I said, behind the scenes things are happening in our lives. But I was kind of in like a tizzy and wanting to just jump the gun and book, and but God kept telling me to be patient. And I didn't really know what that meant, but I'm so glad that I waited, because a bunch of random opportunities happened. And if I had already had the trip planned, it would have not gone the same way. So God is so good, you guys. I'm telling you. So if you want to learn more about how to discern God's voice, we go deep on this in episode four, which is the first part of this Q&A where we first get started on answering your questions with Sophie. We talk a lot about how to hear God's voice. So anyways, this is all very ambiguous. I can't really tell you what's going on in my life, but I will soon. I also need to mention that when we recorded this podcast, my microphone wasn't on. Rookie mistake, you guys. But I pulled some serious magic, and you know, the devil tried to slow us down, but I guess I learned how to be a video audio editor, and I figured it out. Me and ChatGPT sorted it out together, and we ended up making it sound pretty good. It's not perfect. So if it's a little annoying to listen to, I'm sorry, because my volume is like slightly lower than hers, but anyways, it's fine. It's fine. We're fine. All right, guys, enjoy the episode. So the next questions are around partnership. So the first one is, what does your husband think, and how to get your partner involved in believing? So I know Sophie shared her journey, which was perfect. So we wish everyone could have that journey. My husband, he's always respected my views, even when I was doing crazy spiritual things, but without necessarily partaking in them, which is fine. He would let me talk about them, but
With this, he actually grew up Catholic, similar to Sophie. So he never felt connected to it. It was just a very like robotic thing that you had to do. And your mom told you how to go to church on Sunday. So it was like something that he almost had this like funny resistance to, or like when I would ask him to go to church, he was kind of like, I don't want to, it's Sunday. Like he was, it was just like kind of funny how he had this like relationship to it. But so I never like pressured him or anyway at all. But he's also very into like conspiracies and sees how demonic the world has gotten. So I think that has kind of veered him into being like, okay, there's definitely a devil. So there must be a God. So he actually did come to church with me and he enjoyed it. And he was like, okay, this is not the same as Catholic church. It's pretty cool. But yeah, you can't force them. So the Bible actually says, this is in 1 Peter 3:1-2. It says, wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. So you are meant to just live an amazing, have an amazing relationship with God, allow him to change you from the inside out. Like your husband will see those changes and then he'll be like, I want some of that.
Totally. And what I was going to say is if you want to get your husband on board, or, you know, not like you want to convince him or manipulate him or anything like that, but you know what? Treat your husband. Yeah. Like submit to him, treat him mm-hmm. like a king, treat him the way you treated him when you first met him, which was probably like, you know, you have stars in your eyes. You think they're the greatest. Treat him like that. Lift him up higher in his life. Like, you know, speak words of affirmation to him, do things that make his life better, easier, make him feel loved and adored. Like if you're doing that and then you're working on your own life spiritually, and invite him, be like, hey, like, do you want to, I want to go to church. Like, I would love for you to come. I know it's not your thing, but like, you know, would you come with me? You know, just be that person. And I think it might not happen overnight, and don't be upset. And again, like, just like you would your friend in the cult, pray about it. Like ask how your husband can be like, or your partner can be lifted up, and just be that light. And I think, I don't know, that's gone a long way for me every time, whether it's a husband or friends or whatever, have that glow about you and make Jesus like the center of your world. And then, I don't know, I just find things follow. People are either going to join you or they're going to fall away.
Yeah.
So see how that goes.
But another thing actually in my experience was, and this wasn't intentional, it was I would just start listening to worship music in the kitchen while I was cooking.
Me too.
And then he now, like, that's love the playlist that he listens to.
Yeah.
And then our
same with me, actually. I was like, yeah, I want this, like, we listen to music anyways. I'm like, I love Hillsong, like, let's listen to it.
Yeah. And then same with Joel Osteen. Like I would just listen to it while I was puttering around the house. And then he'd be like, oh, that's pretty good. And then sometimes we'll be on a long car trip and he'll be like, should we put on Joel? And
yes.
So all wins.
Yeah.
The next question was how to navigate challenges in marriage.
I mean, actually kind of same tip as before, like, how would you treat your husband if you loved and respected him and loved him without conditions? How would you be talking to him? I don't know how you're talking to him now, but are you belittling him? Are you disrespecting? Are you trying to take control of your house? Like, where can you take responsibility and like make things better? And like, where does he need to be lifted up? So I think it's like a two-pronged thing. And then, yeah, like, kind of what we just said, try to find these practices that you could maybe do together. Maybe you want to, something that my husband and I did, you know, when we were going through harder times or we had stuff going on in our lives that was just like kind of like putting pressure on us, is like going on these walks and talking. We go on walks together with our dog and like talk gratitude or pray together or whatever. You can ask, even if he doesn't believe in it, like, can we pray together? Do you know what I mean? Like, will you hold my hands while I pray for us?
Yeah.
But
No one will say no to that. Like, that's one thing I've learned. If you say, can I pray for you? Or can I pray for us? Like, no one will say no.
Yeah. They don't say no. Yeah. I mean, do you have anything to say about challenges?
Well, I wanted to just piggyback on what you were saying about like belittling. I feel like it's this chicken or egg thing where the woman's like, well, he doesn't do anything, so I have to take control. And then I take control and I have to be masculine. Then I, you know, can't do the things I wanted. It's like she wants him to step up. He wants her to step down. And it's like this ego battle of like, who's gonna submit. But the Bible literally says women submit to your husbands. I think it has to be the woman that submits in that scenario first.
Yeah.
And she has to be the one to start building him up, because he's, if you're pushing him down and taking control and he doesn't feel like a man, he can't get himself out of that. You are the one that will get him out of that.
Yeah. And I'm just going to read something from this book that deals with this exact thing. And I didn't even, I just had this bookmarked anyways. And like, you know, it just is here when you need it. So one night while in the shower, this is Lisa Bevere, Out of Control and Loving It. One night while I was in the shower, I complained to God instead of John, her husband, about this heavy load. I whined and explained how overwhelmed I felt because I couldn't relinquish any of my burden to John. After all, if he didn't even remember the garbage, how could I trust him with anything more important? I wrestled back and forth, justifying why I could not relinquish control. Lisa, do you think John is a good leader? The Lord gently asked me. No, I do not, I asserted. I don't trust him. Lisa, you do not have to trust John, he replied. You only have to trust me. You don't think John is doing a very good job as the head of this home. You feel you can do better. The tension and unrest you're experiencing is the weight and pressure of being the head of the household. It's a yoke to you, but a mantle to John. Lay it down, Lisa. And if you don't know like the yoke and mantle, yoke is like it's like a pressure, a burden you're putting on yourself. And a mantle is like what someone's meant for. So like there are things that your husband is meant for and there's things that you are meant for. And it's like, lift him up so that he can take on those things, because that's the role he's meant to have. So like treat him like someone. Yeah. If you don't trust your husband or you're exasperated with your husband, trust God, like build that relationship with God and trust him to take care of it for you. However that's going to look. And I think like that's the best thing you can do from like a Bible-based perspective.
Yeah. Or any perspective.
Yeah.
Really an answer.
Totally.
Okay. So our next questions are personal / lifestyle.
Yeah.
So do you still microdose? My question is, I do not.
Yep.
The Bible says be sober-minded, so that I did feel conviction around that. I did feel like microdosing. I was microdosing. It was on and off. Like I'd do like 4 months and then I'd run out and I'd forget to get them. And I'd start to like be like, oh yeah, I should try that again. And then I'd do it for another month or two. So it was very like on and off for, you know, maybe about a year. And that, you know, during that year is when I, you know, started becoming closer to God. So I can't say that it was negative, but I just started being like, I want to make sure my mind is clear and to strengthen the muscle that can feel close to God without needing a substance. But I mean, never say never. I don't know.
Totally. I still do. I don't do it regularly, but I honestly like, you know, I still like not very much at all, but I do drink and I do take mushrooms. I am definitely like mom who takes mushrooms. That's kind of who I am. But for me, like, and I'm aware of that, you know, there's a passage of something like, be alert and of sober mind. Yeah. The enemy, the devil, like prowls around looking for someone to devour. And I get that if you're like out of your mind, which I think most substance numb you, take you out of your mind. Whereas my relationship with mushrooms is like, it actually brings me back into my mind.
I agree.
It makes me more present.
More like myself.
I just feel like, and I don't even feel high or anything. I just am like, oh, I'm just free from the shackles of my mind. It's almost like it helps me free myself. But at the same point, I understand that, you know, God should be the one to free me. Like, if I strengthen my relationship with God, I don't need that stuff.
Yeah.
but I'm still here. So I'm still taking it. I think it's helpful to me. My relationship with it might change later, just the same way my relationship with drinking may change later or whatever. I might want to be totally sober, and same with this. But to me, it's almost more like a supplement that, you know, who's to say?
Yeah. And I think like with drinking or anything, it's, I feel like the sin the problem is lack of self-control. But if you are doing it, like Jesus drank wine, he didn't get drunk. But no. Like, do I get drunk? Yes, Sophie. I love my wine.
Yeah.
But do I feel like shit the next day? Sometimes.
Yeah.
But I know my limits. So like, I feel like most of the time I'm good at staying sober-minded. But yeah, I do believe that wine was a gift from the God, and he wants us to celebrate life. And it does say that in the Bible, but it also says like, if that is your, obviously A, don't lose control, but B, if that is your idea of like the best thing in life is like getting drunk or, yeah, you know, being out of your mind, then that is when it's a problem. I think a sin that we don't talk about enough is gluttony, because I feel like that is the actual sin is like doing anything, right, to a point of excess, whether it's eating or drinking or shopping or whatever. And that's because it's a lack of self-control. So it's like almost like another thing that from that book that I can't remember the name of, which I will put in the show notes. It basically said like life is not a party. It's a test and a trust. So it's like God is trusting us with these things that we are going to enjoy, and they're going to make our life feel, you know, they're going to give us little pleasures. That's great. But we also need to be like trusted to not go in over excess with them.
Yeah. And I think it comes back to like, just what's your intention? I always, even before this, I always say, okay, if I'm drinking to escape my life, or I'm drinking because I'm in a bad place, that's not going to go anywhere good. And that is going to take me farther away from God. And I am going to overdo it. And I'm more likely to be taken by the devil or whatever. Whereas if I am in a good place, mm-hmm, and I have a drink with my meal, or I'm having a little champagne with my girlfriends, we're having a good time, like I just have a completely different experience, and I don't overdo it because I don't need to. I don't want to. I want to like stay with my life. I don't want to escape it. So yeah, just, and same with mushrooms. Like if I was going, okay, I need to be out of my mind, let's take these mushrooms. It's not like that for me though. I'm more like, you know what? It'd be so like, it feels so like warm and fuzzy, and I just appreciate my life, and I'm so much more in the moment sometimes. But yeah, back to that. I know I'm kind of double standarding myself here, because I should just ask God for that. However, here we are, and I'm comfortable with where I am right now. And I am like deepening my relationship with God and understanding more. So maybe this will all change, and I'm okay with that.
Well, and I mean, I will say too, is I haven't like closed the door to it. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to see.
But you're just not doing it right now.
It's like, was it the mushrooms that brought me to this? Or like, am I, you know, is this me too? And like, I think I've proven it to myself that like, I can still create that connection without that. But I will say like, and I want to clarify too, for everyone, microdosing, you do not feel high at all.
You don't even actually notice.
You don't even know that you did it. You just feel
better.
Mm-hmm. You just feel better.
You do.
So then someone asked, how do you deal with drinking hangovers with kids?
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
I don't. I have not been hungover since I gave birth. Actually, okay, there might be one time, and this is during COVID, and I came up to your apartment and I was up really late, like drinking. That's the only time I have ever been hungover in the last 5 years. It's just not worth it to me. I've already been there, done that. I've danced on the tables. I've had the week-long hangovers. I'm just beyond that now. I'm not interested. My kids don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. My husband doesn't deserve it. It just completely takes you out of the moment. And it's not just hangovers. It's like, it's my responsibility to be of sound mind. Like, I'm not going to stay up till 3 a.m. because I've got people to take care of that deserve a healthy, happy mommy. And it's really hard to be that if you're exhausted, if you're depleted, if you're hungover. It's just not worth it. Even I just went to Vegas with my husband on like our very first solo trip away from our friends. I am like famously, you know, I do it up when I'm in Vegas. But I just was not interested in that. I had some drinks, not that much. And I just enjoyed myself. Don't need to be, I was never hungover. I was never anything. It's just like, why do I want to? I love my life and I do find peace and joy and all that stuff with God. And I don't really want to waste a precious moment of my time on this gorgeous planet feeling like I want to die, which is how I feel when I'm hungover. I had so many bad experiences. Like I used to party. I used to do like other way crazier drugs, you know, when I was younger, and I would sometimes feel suicidal the week after. It's not worth it. No,
it's not worth it. And I think a lot of people are worried about like, okay, if I go down this path with God, does that mean I need to quit this, quit that, stop doing this? And it's like, that seems so hard. But the reason that, I mean, it's not through your, it's like the reason, Sophie, probably for you, it wasn't your willpower that just decided.
No.
It was you're being sanctified. God decided you don't want this anymore, and he took that away from you.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I see it.
I didn't even really have I think maybe I had the conversation earlier on, like, oh, like, I don't know. I just became not interested in it. Like, the more I got into gratitude and talking with God and like having that be a presence in my life, it wasn't even like really a thing. I was just like, yeah, I don't want this. If you feel like it is a thing though, then hand that over to God. Hand over,
He will take the desire to do that away from you. So don't feel like I have to do this all on my own. I have to like do this, you know, by my strength alone. Like that's what this walk is about. So don't be like, oh, I don't want to be a Bible person because they don't do this and they don't do that, and I can't quit those things. Like you'll want to quit them. Like even myself, like I don't have kids, so it's a little bit different. So I definitely overindulge sometimes, but not like to the point that I used to. Absolutely not. Do I know my limit? 100%. Do I sometimes consciously choose like
to go over the limit?
Yeah. That is a conscious choice that I sometimes make. But yeah, not to the point of like being grossly hungover and throwing up the next day. But if you would have, you know, yeah, like I feel like I understand why people feel fear around like, oh, I don't think I can stop doing that, so I'm not going to like bother trying. It's like, okay, like give it up to God and he will help you with that, like to not have that desire or that need or that, you know, that you don't feel the need to escape because you are in a place of bliss and joy.
Yeah. And I mean, it might not be an overnight thing where it's magically taken from you. Like, I think you have to have those conversations with God and then listen, be like, what should I do about this today? And they might be like, go to AA, throw out your liquor, go listen to this book. Hey, you should check out this podcast. Maybe there's like, you just never know where you're going to get the message that you need. And just be on that journey of being a little bit better every day about it. If there's something that's taking you away from your life, just like, yeah, just seek out the next step to a more pot. Like if you're not happy with your relationship with alcohol, dive deep, make God the focus of your life instead of that.
Exactly.
Or anything.
How do you keep your Eunice alive while juggling family drama, relationships, all the chaos life throws at you?
What do you think of that?
I feel like I struggle with this a little bit because I do go into like survival pits because I live in the middle of nowhere. It's so easy for me to like not be not feel like myself and just like be in a hole at home and like not see the light of day, like in the winter anyways, if I'm really, really busy. So, but it's like the obvious things, like what are the things that make me feel, but it's like also like the, it's like, what is your identity? Like knowing your true identity. If you feel like to feel like you, you have to have all these expensive bags and, you know, like what are the,
yeah, who are you?
Who are you? Is the vision that you have of yourself actually you, or is it something that your ego is holding on to? So that's number one. And then it's really just the basic things. Like I work out because it makes me feel good. I always do my Bible study. I listen to my worship music. Like those are the things that make me feel like me. Our identity is being a child of God. Like we're not all our Instagram identities that were crafted in our minds, yeah, and with our photo apps. So actually like knowing who you are and what it is that makes you feel best. Like, you know, I feel like I feel best when I'm walking my dog, or, you know, having coffee with my husband, or listening to the birds chirping, or, you know, just being full of the Holy Spirit and asking the Holy Spirit to fill me up. Like that's when I actually feel my best. But then sometimes I'm like, well, I need to do this, that, and the other thing because the girls on Instagram are doing it. And if I don't do that, I don't feel like myself. Trust me, I was in that mind space for like the first year that I lived here. But that's like, okay, well, that wasn't me. So, you know,
yeah,
it was the idea of like what being important was that I was clinging on to.
Totally. Identity is so crazy. And I think like there is so much peace that comes when you're just like, you know what? I'm a child of God. Like that is my identity first and foremost. And it's like, I'm his child. So he has my best interest at heart. If like, I might not know exactly what the answer is, but I know that there is someone like the source cares deeply about me and like I can reside in that always. And I think like in terms of like maintaining your you-ness when life is chaotic, I think I always go back to routines. And if you can go to a routine that is centered around God, like I kind of just try to go like, okay, when life is really chaotic and like sometimes you can't control your day or whatever, it's just like I can control one thing. So it's like maybe getting out for a walk around the block or a walk in your yard or walking around your house for like 10 minutes. And for me, having that conversation with God, just making that the center of maybe that's all you can handle in a day, then at least you're like centering that around your life. And like, yeah, just keeping that line of communication open. I think that's all you can really do. And yeah, just like having, I mean, more what you said, just having an identity, discovering what your identity is outside of what you do. And that is really like your identity lies with Jesus, with God, with your relationship with him, like reading the Bible, not to like beat it with a dead horse, but truly it's just open the lines of communication to God and pray and talk whenever you can. And if life is chaotic, then create some kind of thing for yourself that feels good that you can turn to. And maybe it's your prayer. Like you said, you work out and that makes you feel good. Make that a time where you're like, the endorphins are strong. Like talk to God during that time.
I'm like blaring worship. My husband's like, I don't know how you work out to this music. He's like listening to like EDM to pump him up. I'm like,
oh. Habit stack however you can. And I think just like set boundaries and don't try to do everything at once. Just be like, okay, I'm going to center my life around God and I'm going to have compassion for the people in my life and love them and love myself. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a lot to say, but I would literally, if this is my life, it was chaotic and I felt like I was losing myself, losing my you-ness, I would just go, okay, I've just got to do my one non-negotiable a day, do a walk and pray and talk. And then I'm going to try to be a nicer, like, what would Jesus do to everyone in my life all day and really practice like radical self-compassion and compassion for other people. And that would just be it for a while until I'm able to regulate myself and then, you know, work on the next thing. That's what I would say.
I think we also like, in terms of like communicating with God and reading the Bible and scripture, it's like we can, like God's word created life. He literally said, let there be light. And then like the world was created. When you are reading those words, he is breathing life into you. You can't explain it. you don't like the, what's it called? The undescribable, undeniable piece of God, something unexplainable piece of God. You can't explain it, but when you're reading those words, life is life in your new identity and like what you're supposed to do and your next step that you're supposed to take, like that just comes to you. Like it just does. And it's like, we want to make it so much more difficult in our heads of like, I have to do this and then that and the other thing to feel like this, but it doesn't have to be that hard. And it's, we've as humans have just created all of these like rules, but it can be so much easier. And it's hard to remember. I don't do it all the time, but when I do, I feel a million times better.
My goodness.
Three more questions.
Yes. This is fun though. I like having these, like I'm being challenged through this. It's like, I don't necessarily think about the chakras. I don't think about astrology. I'm not like trying to discern that. So it's good to talk about it because, you know, we're figuring it out a bit.
Yeah. Okay. How do you do it all? A burning cue for hot moms. That is for you.
How do I do it all? Well, number one, I don't do it all at all. I don't do it all. But I have had so many moments where I'm like, how can I do it all? How can I be the mother that I want to be? How can I keep the house clean? How can I try to like have some kind of identity in my career? How can I achieve all the amazing things? How can I get 40 under 40? How can I like, how can I get a book deal? How can I like, you know, I have all of these questions going on in my mind. Like, how can I be like sexy and be a mother? And like, there's just that is the narrative of our lives today. You really feel like you do have to be it all. And I have literally had to go to God so many times with this question, like, and really surrender things over to him. I mean, I just kind of like, I imagine myself like laying at his feet and just like kind of like the way my son lays at mine and just totally is like comfortable and surrenders. And I've had to like have that visual for myself a few times. And I know that there's a verse in Matthew that's like, how does it go? Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And he says something like, take the yoke off from yourself and like put it upon me. I'm gentle and humble in your heart. Like, yeah, just like if with me, you can find rest for your soul, something like that. And I just have had to like chill out and stop trying to do it all.
Yeah.
And by doing that, I'm able to do so much more. And by rest, like being comfortable, more comfortable with resting and not trying to do it all, I'm able to hear like God's guidance for me, which is to be like, you know what? Now is your time to be here for your kids. Like that is your focus. You don't need to worry about all this other stuff. Don't worry. If you're meant to do that, like we'll make it happen later. But right now, like your value is in raising these kids. And that's not for everyone. Like, you know, I think everyone has their own little unique message. For me, this is definitely my unique message. I think for some people it's about doing other things, but for me right now, I know I'm where I'm meant to be because I keep hearing that message. And it's not necessarily the message that I wanted to hear. My whole life has been like trying to achieve something and make a name for myself or something like that. That's been like my weird deep desire. And like, yeah, I feel like that's not really what I'm meant to be doing right now. And I just get that message by having these conversations with God. So like give up trying to do it all and just do your best every day. And like literally asking God, like, what am I meant to do today? What would you have me do? Like where do I need to go? How can I be more like you today? And like, just do that. And oftentimes it is just like, be with my family and create a happy space for them and do my best to create happiness for myself. And that is what needs to be done today. And not everything gets done. And that's okay. That's what I would say.
I could not agree more. And I never thought I would think this way. I was so like, I need to do everything and I can do everything. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I don't want to.
I was really in like, not to get into like a whole feminine masculine discussion, but I didn't realize how in my masculine energy I was for so long. And it like, I just realized that is just going to burn. I'm not a man. Like it is going to burn me out so much. And it did. And like, it's just like, chill out.
We're not meant to boss, babe, unless it is like God giving us all the easy, like things that feel fun, like this, like, you know, things that are like opportunities that he's put in front of us that are our path. Like, I really feel like if we're trying to force something to try and prove something to ourselves, it's going to burn
you out. And again, I think everyone has that deeper intention within themselves. Some people, like if you're working and loving your job and you feel like, wow, I am like living out God's gifts here, then that is a total different conversation. But I did not feel that way. And like, this is where I feel my gift is right now. And this is the biggest.
And that can change. That can change.
Totally.
Okay. So the next question is, after the Beyonce concert, is she light or dark energy? I feel like she's more into dark symbolism. We both went, not together, but we both went. I felt high after, like I was like vibrating, and it actually kind of scared me. Like while I was there, I felt really happy, and like I literally kept doing like the cross on my heart, like the Catholic. Like protection, like because there was some scary symbolism that I noticed, but I don't know. I left kind of being more confused than ever because I thought that it was going to be like, I don't know. I thought I was going to feel more dark, but I definitely felt this weird high and maybe crashed a little bit after.
You know what? I didn't really feel anything. I felt more like I went to her concert before and I loved it. I was just like, wow. But you know, I know that not just Beyonce, but a lot of people who are artists, period, do a lot of dark symbolism. And there is a part of me that used to be really attracted to that. That was like kind of sexy to be all like dark and weird. Like I liked that vibe. But now if I notice something, whether it's Beyonce or someone else, and they're kind of like doing some kind of dark things, I try to like, okay, like what's the real intention here? Like, what are they trying to convey? I think it's okay to explore dark emotions, but yeah, like I don't know their intentionality behind it. I don't know if they're trying to hypnotize me with their crazy symbols. So for me, like sometimes I'll notice someone's maybe doing something and I just kind of get the ick. Like I'm just not that interested, you know? I'm just like, okay, cool. I've just become not interested in it. And maybe I kind of felt that way at Beyonce. Like I enjoyed it, but I also was just not like gagging for it, as the kids say. But like, I think you just, I try to just like maybe have more understanding, like diving deeper into the conversations that the Bible has about this stuff and try to like just be more in the light. I think the more into like love and light and Jesus you are, you just kind of become a lot less interested in this stuff. Like I don't watch horror movies. I don't listen to like, I used to like love rap music and like kind of like crazy, kind of darker stuff. I'm just like not interested at all anymore. So it's like not even a thing that I have to think about.
It's like nails on a chalkboard for me.
Yeah,
now.
Like, kind of like, I'm good, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, like what do I think of, what do I think about Beyonce? I don't know. I don't know what Beyonce is really up to. Maybe something, maybe not. But I don't, maybe she's up to something because I'm just not that attractive.
Yeah. It's like, it's like the Jesus in us, the Holy Spirit in us is like, just, it's like, I don't know. It's just not being pointed in that direction.
Yeah. Anymore. Or it's just like, or it's completely unrelated to that. I don't even know. I just, I think if someone's having like really dark symbolism, I am definitely like less into it, whether it's a podcast or a TV show or, I'm just like not really into traumatizing myself anymore.
No.
I used to love to traumatize myself, by the way. Like,
I think it's like, you know me, deep, dark conspiracy theorist. I just do think that like the devil owns the music industry and Hollywood, and they are like messing with all of us, like trying to, I don't know, get into our minds.
Yeah.
And it's like the thing, it's like, that's why the Bible talks so much about steadfastness. Like if you always have God in your, on your mind, and you're literally always having that communication with him, like, no darkness can come in. But it's like, if you're like, okay, I'm just going to listen to this and I'm going to like get out of control and I'm going to, it's like, I do think we can let some dark things in. So it's like, yes, I went to Beyonce, but I was steadfast and I was like alert and like, you know, so
yeah,
know. It's like, you don't have to like completely leave the world. Listen, like you don't need to, there's going to be things that you're disinterested in. My friend got Beyonce tickets, so I was like, yeah, I'll go with you. But yeah, it's like you know, just do what you want. But if there's something that you're like, oh, this is so kind of fun, like still do it if you want to. But like eventually I just think it's like a slow sifting and purification, and it'll probably, if it is demonic, you won't want to do it anymore.
Yeah. So and if you notice something, say something. Like, you don't have to make an alert on the internet, but you can like talk to your friends about it and see what they think. And you can kind of bring light to some things if there was something that was bothering you or felt a little weird. I think it's okay to, yeah, like having conversations like we're having right now. I think it's a positive thing. But yeah, there is, I will say, yeah, there's lots of weird symbolism on TV, and some of it, I'm like, okay, are we going off the deep end here with this? But some of it is like, you can't really deny it. That's weird and dark and like not nice. So
yeah,
I think it is good to draw attention to those things, but then also just keep being the light, like understanding what that is and bringing more of that. I think the entertainment industry needs more of that than ever. So like, that's important too. It's not all about calling something out. It's like, if you feel called to give back to the world in some way or put something that's positive out there, then do it, you know? Yeah.
Okay. Last question.
Wow.
Like, now I need a sip of water.
Yeah. This could be literally three episodes.
Literally. I know, because they're only half an hour usually. Yeah. Okay. So hairstyling and makeup, how to be good at these things when you aren't.
TikTok. Go on YouTube. Watch a tutorial. Copy somebody. Find your color season.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Color season. I cannot find a good color season test. I feel like everyone I take gives me a different result, and I'm like, I don't know which one is right.
Yeah. I don't know. It is kind of complex. I'm not even sure what you are.
If anyone has a good color season test, please send it my way. I feel like I'm like Lisa Rinna. I've had the same hair since like the 90s. So I'm probably not the best person to have. But I think like with makeup, I would say, I feel like, you know, when you're doing your makeup and it just doesn't feel complete until you do that like one step. For me, it's like brightening my eyes and lip liner. And it's like, if that's, you know, then it's like, then that's pretty much all I focus on. Everything else, I'm like, it doesn't need to be perfect. I'm just going to make sure I do those two things. Oh, and draw my eyebrows in, because let's be real. I was a 90s child. So yeah, I think just, I don't know, keep it simple. We don't need to be looking like Kardashians every day.
No, I'm much more, I mean, I used to be a girl who was doing daytime smoky eye, lashes every day. Like, I look crazy. Like, I looked crazy sometimes. Yeah. And that's okay. I love that
style girl. At the time.
It was the style at the time. Whereas now, you know, I think just the more you let kind of, you just want to do things to enhance your best features. But honestly, so doing makeup from that intention standpoint, and then working with like your natural self, I guess, the best that you can. Like, and then I don't know, like, how, if you're not that good at that stuff, I just find someone on TikTok or someone on YouTube who kind of like resembles my coloring, and I'll just do what they do. Or if they look beautiful, I'll buy all the products and copy their routine and just like, you know, try and experiment a little bit. But I think, I think for the most part, it is just about like enhancing your natural beauty. You don't need to do a crazy winged eyeliner and like redo your eyebrows and do all this stuff. Just find a way to work with what you have. Find some really good products that, you know, are tried, tested, and true through like TikTok or whatever. Just literally search like modern everyday makeup and copy what they do and see if you like it. That's all I would say. And hair. Yeah. Again, just like find what works for you. Do you have any tricks for your hair? Like let's maybe use some tangible tricks. Like, what do we like to do that makes the biggest difference for us?
Okay. I don't know. I have like two looks. Like, I don't
know.
That's
fine. Me too. I do the same makeup every day.
My hair is so difficult because I have the most like crazy curly, like fine hair that is impossible. So,
but you look great every time I see you. So what do you do?
I mean, I just like have every single straightening tool possible.
Okay.
So yeah, I don't like, I honestly don't know the answer to this. Like, I love like the Color Wow products.
Me too.
Find the products that work for you and stick to them. Anytime I stray, there's a problem.
Yeah.
So I love my Kevin Murphy shampoo. I love, yeah, like the Color Wow defrizzing stuff. Yeah.
I used, actually, I used the Color Wow. It's like a 1 minute transformation cream, and you just put it on the ends and like run the blow dryer through. And I feel like it makes such a difference. I love Color Wow.
That one I need to
try. And then another thing I do is every day for bed, I have like, I'm sure I could have like a real product that does that, a real product. I just have like an old, it's like this knit cashmere sock. Don't ask. I never actually wore it, but I cut the end off and like rolled it into a donut. And then I put my hair through it and like wrap it around. And that's how I sleep with my hair every day. And it comes out like I got a blowout. Oh. I sleep like that every night. Then my hair like isn't tangled. It looks gorgeous when it comes out in the morning. It looks like I just did my hair. And then I feel like for makeup, do you have any makeup tip?
I mean, okay. I like a tip that I love is because I don't like to look too like cakey. I'll put like a drop of face oil into my foundation if I'm going to wear foundation. Yep. And then it's not as like crazy.
Yeah. I use like I'll like mix my foundation with the, it's like the Say illuminating, like illuminating, yes, skin illuminator, or like you can get the one from Charlotte Tilbury. The like, is it, yeah, Skin Perfector? I think even, what is that brand you can get at the drugstore? They have it. NYX?
NYX.
Yeah, NYX. They have, yeah, one that's too, that's like a skin illuminator that's really nice. That looks nice.
I feel like NYX is such a hack. Like,
I know.
There.
Yeah.
Every like they like find every good expensive product and knock it off and do a pretty,
yeah,
job. Yeah, like the Anastasia brow pencil.
Yep.
I've started buying theirs. It's
exactly, oh really, this. Okay,
yeah, they've got good lip liners and their lip glosses are amazing.
Yeah,
and then for like a natural brand, I love Kosas and Ilia.
I like Kosas as well too.
Yeah,
I haven't,
their under eye concealer, so
good. Okay, okay. Yeah, and I feel like having a lip liner also, our friend. What's your go-to lip liner?
I'm such a basic bee. Iconic Nude Charlotte Tilbury.
Oh, that's a fave. I love Anywhere Caffeine or Wherever Walnut from Makeup Forever.
And then I can never remember if it's Infinite Cacao or Limitless Cacao, one of those, but Makeup Forever. It's like a little dark, but I actually like if you just really gently use it, but it's like a very cool brown. Like I don't like any nudes that are too
warm,
orangey looking. They look really not good on me.
Yeah, Charlotte Tilbury Pillow Talk like doesn't look good on me. It's so orange on me.
Yes, me too. It doesn't look good on me.
Yeah. And then I feel like a peachy, some kind of peachy blush. I think I use.
Yeah, I like cool tone. I have my makeup right here, actually. I should show you guys. I like a cool tone.
Pink?
Blush, but that's just my coloring. I can't have anything warm.
See, I think you're a winter. I think your season is a winter.
Maybe I'm a winter.
I think you're either a deep winter, just like, I think you're probably a deep winter.
Yeah. I think that was when I was looking, I feel
but
like.
But you're
that.
Like, oh my God, I don't want to wear these jewel tones. I know.
So I stick to cool. Like very few people can wear like cool, like bronzer and stuff. It ends up looking like grayish on people, but I feel like that's what I need. So this is also really good. Rare Beauty contour stick. It blends really well.
Okay.
But yeah.
Those are our little tips.
Those are our little tips. We are not experts, but thank you for trusting us with that question.
Yeah. And just, I don't know, tutorials, just follow them. Like everyone can learn. There's these people online who are just teaching people all sorts of things for free. So just take advantage, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. We did. I'm so sorry for keeping you for so long.
No, it was fun.
We just had to answer all the cues.
We really did. We really did.
I hope you guys enjoyed. I had so much fun.
I know. I did too. I'd do it again.
Yeah. We need to make this a regular thing. So if there are any questions that you guys have that we did not get to, then do us a slice, DM them to us and we'll get to them next
time. Yes, we will.
All right, you guys, thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe. It really means the world to me. Please rate us all the stars and give us some nice comments. It's like the little thing. These are the things that like really make me happy, you guys. It's not just for me. It's for God. All right. All right, guys.
Okay, bye.
Bye, guys.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Prime Day es el 16 y 17 de julio. Con las ofertas épicas exclusivas para miembros Prime, recibe el reconocimiento que tanto mereces.
¡Wow! Gracias. Ni siquiera preparé un discurso.
Quisiera agradecer a mi familia, que siempre necesita cosas. También a Sam, mi repartidor, por entregarme todas mis ofertas increíbles tan rápido. ¡Te adoro, Sam! ¡Mua!
Compra ofertas en electrónicos, hogar y más este Prime Day, del 16 al 17 de julio.